in Abbey Yorish. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
All right. Thank you. Avi, it's been such a very long time, and I've really missed talking to you.
And I with you. You've been on vacation, and
yes.
I've missed you.
Oh, thanks. Avi, can we please talk about Iran?
Sure.
If anybody understands Iran, you will understand Iran. I mean, and also I think that it's important as South Africans to understand who is Iran, because South Africa and Iran have got very, very close relationship. In fact, I think that this whole downgrading of the embassy in Israel, it has got more to do with Iran than to do with BDS. But that's just me. So, Avi, what is it? What are the things that you think South Africans and the world at large should know about Iran?
So there's a few things that I think we ought to really be focused on. First, primarily in the last 30 to 40 years, we've seen a sea change. Let's start with the fact that Iran is one of the most innovative places on the planet today.
Yes.
Most people don't know that. They have a young population, they have companies, they have innovation, they're very scientific. This is a highly innovative society. Unfortunately, in 1979, the Islamic Republic of Iran experienced a sea change when it came to its own people, and the Shah was kicked out, and Ayatollah Khomeini came in, and it now is at one of the world's Islamic republics, and has become a primary state sponsor of terrorism. They sponsor organizations like Hezbollah and Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad, close to $1 billion a year. They're one of the most destabilizing forces in the Middle East today, and they are anti-peace and about fomenting revolutions around the Arab world today. And so we're seeing here a country that is responsible for terrorism and is marching towards a nuclear bomb and has been unabashed in its support for organizations and countries that seek not peace but war with the State of Israel and other countries around the world. And so we are seeing a country that is destabilizing the region. With that said, I'm also intrigued by the fact that it is a country that in many ways is imploding. It's a country of 80 million people, and in the next 20 years is going to experience a massive water shortage, like other parts of the Middle East. In 20 years, 50% of its population are going to be without water. As we mentioned on the show before, Egypt, a country of 100 million people, in 6 years is going to run out of water. And I tend to think that places like Egypt and Iran will be begging Israel for its water experts in the coming decade or two. Iran today points its missiles at Israel saber rattles war with the Jewish state. I tend to think that in 20 years, Iran will be begging it for its water experts.
It's incredible. You know, I mean, if one looks at the history between the Jews and Iran, I mean, I don't think that we can completely discount the spiritual history. You know, when the Jews were exiled by the Babylonians at the destruction of the first temple, that was where they were marched down to, by the waters of Babylon. They were marched from Israel to Babylon. And that is what is today Iran.
You don't even need to go back to the, you don't even need to
I
go
mean,
to
it's Persia. Years. Yeah.
Iran has one of the largest Jewish communities in the Middle East today. You have a Jewish member of parliament. You have Jewish hospitals in Iran. We have a sizable Jewish population living throughout the country. And interestingly, you've had many, many Jews that have either come to Israel or the United States and have very quietly gone back because of their business dealings in the country over the course of the last two decades.
But isn't it funny how there is such a history? And you know, you mentioned that Iran is a very, very innovative country today. Absolutely. But that isn't even new, because if you look at their kings of old, Cyrus and Darius, they were the most unbelievable innovators with water actually in that time. You know, so what does the world need to know about Iran? Are they a threat to us or aren't they?
I mean, look, the tragedy is that today Iran serves as one of the threats to Western society, is a state sponsor of terrorism, is funding organizations that are really inimical to the idea of peace, is a destabilizing force. It is one of these great tragedies in history. And at the same time, they have all of this potential. And so ultimately, Iran is going to need to choose between the bomb and feeding its population and embracing technology for the benefit of humanity. Are they going to stand shoulder to shoulder with those that seek life over death? And until now, we've seen the Ayatollahs who've embraced death over life, unfortunately.
Yeah, something tragic about that. Avi, did you ever see that campaign where it was I Heart Iran? Did you ever see that? It was a social media campaign. It was a graphic designer, out of work graphic designer, and he did something on Facebook that was I Heart Iran. And it went viral, and all of a sudden all of these Israelis, you know what the Israelis are like, they love something, they all love it completely. And they started posting this, I Heart Iran. And then people in Iran, you know, they were doing the same thing, I Heart Israel. It was unbelievable. It was one of the most famous TED Talks.
That is heartwarming.
Yeah, very heartwarming.
That is heartwarming.
Yeah. Heartwarming. I'll send you the links. Okay, Avi Yorish. Is that where we leave it today?
I don't know. Do you want to talk about water? Do you want to talk about innovation?
Let's talk about water and let's talk about innovation that's happening in Iran.
Look, in Iran, we're seeing a decline in water resources. They really are. Members of parliament over the course of the last 2 years have raised the alarm bells that Iran really is going down the tubes when it comes to its water consumption. And they've reached out to places around the world raising the alarm bells. And ultimately, Iran is going to run out of water. And as we talked about on the show before, Israel is the world's one and only water superpower. Israel has managed to do this using drip irrigation, using recycling of wastewater, desalination plants and the two-button toilet. And Iran is going to have to put in place these very, very things. Now, as you know, in South Africa, South Africa has downgraded its relationship with the state of Israel. And in large part, here are the questions that I'd be wondering about. Why does MTN have a 49% stake in Iran's cell phone technology? When you have large Iranian companies that are mining ore in other places in South Africa, one begs the question, what is the relationship like and what is the relationship stand with between South Africa and Iran? And ultimately, policymakers in South Africa are going to have to ask themselves, as you look into the future, 10, 20, 30 years from now, would you rather be allied with a country like the Islamic Republic of Iran, which stands for death, or allied with the State of Israel, which stands for life? The State of Israel is creating solutions to major world problems when it comes to water, science, agriculture, medicine, all things that are afflicting the South African economy. Who would you rather stand with? Would you rather stand with a country that actually promotes innovation and is really helping solve global challenges, or standing with a country ultimately that is embracing war and death? And that really is the fundamental question that we each must ask ourselves and of our lawmakers and our policymakers. Who are we standing with? Ultimately, our foreign policy, I believe, must be based on values. Where do our values stand? Now, Israel has not always had the easiest relationship with South Africa. For many years, it allied itself with the apartheid regime, not one of the happier subjects and not one of the happier chapters of Israel's history, unfortunately. Did that for a variety of reasons, and I don't mean to sweep that under the rug. But ultimately, Israel is a liberal society that embraces the ideals of life. And as we look forward, these are sad chapters. We must recognize them, embrace them, and move forward in lockstep. And so I invite South African policymakers and lawmakers to really look beyond today and figure out who they're allying with. Downgrading relationship with the State of Israel can only hurt South Africa over the long haul.
Yeah, an SMS coming through, Avi, says, hi, I, however, do think and feel that Israel and the USA are pushing an agenda towards Iran to have Iran respond so they are, respond. So that USA and Israel can attack Iran in many wars. What do you think about that, Avi?
I think there's no interest of the United States or Israel to attack Iran in any way, shape, or form. Israel has repeatedly, as has the United States, repeatedly stated an agenda of how do we work together with nations around the world. Now, the United States has not had the easiest relationship with Iran, certainly over the course of the last 70, 80 years. It's not been in the 50s we had a revolution that the United States fomented. And as we all know, the United States has sent its troops all over the world. With that said, ultimately, the world is changing. The world is going to look very differently today. It's going to look very differently in 10 years than it does today. I invite each of your listeners to think about when did each of us get our first smartphone? And that only happened 10 years ago. None of us can even remember life without our smartphones. Can you imagine what's going to be 10 years from today when we hit major challenges in space, in water technology, food shortages? The environmental changes that are coming down the pike are huge. Iran is not playing a role when it comes to solving those global challenges. Places like Silicon Valley in Israel are.
Absolutely fascinating. If we weren't sitting here in 2019, I would say this almost sounds prophetic. You know, here's your choice between good and evil, between life and death.
And each of us has the ability to steer the course of not our individual careers and of our lawmakers and policymakers.
Yeah.
Must embrace the fact that life is changing. And I ask your listeners to embrace the idea of, well, what values are we passing on to our children and our grandchildren? What kind of world do we want to see? Do we want to see a world that embraces life, or do we want to see a world that embraces death? And the values that Israel really does embrace are the ideas of, and it's had its sadder moments in history. And there is Israel does face major problems. It's not a Garden of Eden. There are major problems that the state of Israel is grappling with today. The relationship with its Arab neighbors, grappling. Resource scarcity, it's also grappling. But ultimately, this is an aspirational society that is seeking to make the world a better place. This is, at least it has many, many individuals within the country that are seeking to improve the world.
Amazing. Avi Yorish, that is where we leave it. You want to go catch up with Avi Yorish? Go to aviyorish.com. J-O-R-I-S-C-H. Thank you so much for your time. Have a wonderful week, Avi.
Thank you. You as well. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.